David says to number our days. And when we know our days are numbered, it helps us to be thankful for every moment, each moment that we have. Things that we once took for granted were we are more intentional to be thankful for. So what does it mean to be thankful in all circumstances, since that's what the scripture says, to be thankful in all circumstances? I want us to watch together this brief video about being thankful. Something happened in 2012 that changed the trajectory of this man, his name is Marcus, his life. Let's take a look together.
Matter of fact, it was November, very close to this date today, in 2012. So I had woke up and I was jaundiced, orange as a pumpkin. And putting two and two together, I was a particularly heavy drinker in my 30s and 40s. And I thought that I had cirrhosis of the liver. That's what made sense to me. So I went to the back to the hospital. And I told the doctors, listen, this is what's going on. I've got cirrhosis of the liver. What are we going to do next? I was ready to get into the solution about this. And they said, hold up a little bit. Let's run some tests and see maybe something else may be going on. And within an hour, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. The tumor on my pancreas was shoving up against my liver and shutting my liver down. And they wheeled me to palliative care, told me to call my family to get my affairs in order. And the insinuation was I just had but a few days to live.
As you sit here now, how is your health?
The cancer has metastasized to my liver and my right kidney. I found that out in March of 2014. Since the very beginning, I've been on oral chemo, and I'm on oral chemo now, and it seems to be working. It's holding everything in place. It hasn't progressed that much from the first diagnosis in March of 2014.
You know, the Bible tells us to be grateful. It sounds easy enough, but in a circumstance like yours, how much work was it to learn to be grateful?
It started slowly. I began being grateful for the little things like clothes, my next meal, those material things, you know, that we consider our daily bread. And I see things through different eyes. I see things in an internal light, how this life has will have a profound effect on my next life.
Yeah.
And how anticipation of the next life is having a profound effect on this life now that I have. And it's been truly amazing.
One of the ways that your story came to my attention is that I saw the words that you were having inscribed on your headstone. Tell us about that.
I wanted to forward a message on to any wayward passerby who perhaps come across my headstone and maybe identify with, and who had the eyes to discern the message. And the simple line is, forgive me for the days I was not grateful. And in that one sentence, it states my problem, that I was not grateful. And it also includes the solution, forgive me. And that's the message that I want to pass on.
His message has been forwarded. Marcus died just a couple of weeks ago. And forgive me for the days I was not grateful. You know, we don't typically think of ingratitude as something that needs forgiveness. You know, complaining and whining usually doesn't feel like a sin that needs to be repented of, correct? We just don't approach it that way. But the New Testament repeatedly calls us to be a people that are thankful and grateful. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, take a look. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks here is not a helpful suggestion or a healthy hint or for healthy living. It is a command. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is what God wants for your life. This is what God wants for all of our lives. So if God says, this is what I want for your life, for you to give thanks in all circumstances, and we don't do that, God says to do this, we don't do that, what is that? It's sin, exactly. It's a disobedience, it's a sin. If it's disobedience, a sin, then we need to repent of the days that we have been ungrateful. Now, where we've complained and where we've whined, and we've been constantly critical. Maybe, you know, you're like me and you think, okay, maybe it's a sin, but is it a sin that kind of God overlooks, right? Aren't there the ones that are like down here? It's not that big a deal. Is it? I mean, God doesn't love it, but he understands it as part of the human experience. He lived as we lived. He was human like we are human. And we can be dismissive of it. But we're going to look at a passage today that looks at how seriously God takes the sin of ingratitude. In the Old Testament, Numbers 14, that's what we're going to look. We're going to look at a couple of different passages. And we're going to look at an example that shows us that God takes this stuff very seriously. But I do want to throw in a disclaimer here. When we talk about complaining and whining, we are not necessarily talking about sharing our struggles, okay? And our hardships with God or with the people we love and the people that love us. There's a difference here. Philippians 2:14, take a look. Do everything without what? Some versions say grumbling. The word translated complaining or grumbling is an important word because it communicates to us that complaining, biblically, is not just the words we speak, but the tone we use. You'll see what I mean in a second. In fact, the word in the original language is the word gongousmos. It's a word that we get, at least part of it, its meaning from its sound. We get the word gong from gongousmos. So when we talk about complaining and whining and ingratitude, it's not just what we say, but how you say it. It's the tone that you use. Truth is, I've missed that for a significant part of my life. You know, I'm not going to say negative things. So when a good friend would say to me, you know, hey, how you doing, Keith? How you doing? I'm not going to tell him the truth because I don't want to be complaining. I don't want to whine about it. That's not how I roll. And my wife says, you know, how's your day? I'd say, you know, it was good. Because I don't want to be a whiny, complaining husband that comes home and tells about everything that went wrong in his day. So I didn't talk about what went wrong with my day, and you know, I left those things out. Even sometimes, the truth is, when I'd pray, I'd you know leave out some of the challenges and the struggles I had in life. Because I didn't want to complain. I don't want to be whiny. But here's what God is teaching me. There is a difference between complaining with a negative tone and a whiny attitude, and sharing our struggles with a spirit of humility and vulnerability. There's a difference between those, and I'm learning that. And if I don't share my struggles with the people that love me, if I don't share those things with God, it creates walls around me because I'm not letting people in. And neither are you. The only way to tear down those walls is for us to be vulnerable, to let people know, here's something I'm struggling with. So we talk about complaining and whining. When we do that, we're not talking about not sharing our struggles. That's important. We need to do that with each other. That's part of life. Bear one another's burdens. The scripture is very clear about that. In the book of Peter, we're told to cast all our cares, our anxieties on him, all the burdens on God. Why? Because he cares for us. So We're talking about a negative attitude here in Numbers 14, a whiny spirit that never seems to be able to find the good, the positive, the blessings of life. The example we're going to look at shows us how seriously God takes this. You're probably familiar with this story. This is when the Israelites have been rescued from slavery by background context, so you have context here. They've been rescued from slavery, I said that, in the land of Egypt. And did you ever wonder why they wandered in the wilderness so long? It's like they really weren't good with directions. You know, they didn't have the right GPS. What was that about? Why did they wander so long? The reason is they had a spirit of complaining, seeing the negative, not having faith, not being able to be positive and see God's blessings. It came up again and again when the Israelites were wandering around the desert. They're constantly complaining. I might have been too. I'm not a big beach guy. You know, a lot of beach out in that desert. It's hot. Constantly whining and not being grateful. Here's the example. I want us to look at it in the story. They are complaining about something that we do complain about, let's face it, probably on one of our top two or three, right? They're complaining about the food. Anybody ever complain about food? Yeah, be honest, right? Of course, maybe you shouldn't be eating where you're eating either. Wow, this stuff sucks. Why are you going there? Don't eat there. So let's take a look at the scripture. In Numbers 11, not Numbers 14, the message says this. Take a look. The riffraff among the people had a craving. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I'll stop for a second here. A lot of our complaining comes from our cravings that are not met, right? And soon they had the people of Israel whining because of their cravings. They wanted something. Why can't we have meat? We ate fish in Egypt and got it for free. To say nothing of the cucumbers and the melons. Oh, they're excited. They're thinking about it, right? Oh, man. Listen to all this food we're missing. And the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, the garlic. It's good, right? Yeah. But nothing tastes good out here. Look at the last line. All we get is what? Say it. Manna. Manna, there you go, you got it down. You've heard the wine, haven't you? And there's the tone, you had it, that goes with this. They're not just saying, all we get is manna, 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 right? Manna, manna, manna. Let's try that together. You got the whiny voice down, okay? All we get is what? Manna, manna, manna. I want to try it one more time, and I'm going to sit this out because I want you to hear how you whine and complain, because I'm used to hearing some of you do that all the time. So, let's do that. All right. So, let's get real whiny, all right? All we get is... You got it. It's the whiny tone, right? The whiny tone. It's not that they're going to God with the challenges or the struggles, because we need to do that, that they're dealing with. They are whining about it. And one of the things I want to catch from the story is this. Complaining is what? Communicable. It's a disease, right? It's an infection that can spread from one person and infect an entire community. Did you catch at the beginning of the passage that I read in Numbers 11? It says the riffraff, which meant a select few. It wasn't everybody, just a select few. There weren't very many, but you know, after time, pretty soon, all the people are complaining. And isn't that the way complaining is? Isn't that how it starts? One family member over Thanksgiving, since it's Thanksgiving weekend, right, has a negative attitude, and what happens? They bring everybody in the entire group, the entire community down. Just one or two employees have a bad attitude and always complaining, and pretty soon everybody has the same spirit about them. You know, it's a couple of neighbors or a few church members, and it's this infection that can just spread very rapidly. It's as if the complainer is holding up a dark lens and helping other people look through it. You know, you didn't notice it before, but let me point out how cold it is in here. And you hear people whine about that, and pretty soon, you know what, it is kind of chilly. You sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody is good until someone next to you says, "Hey, is it me, but is the stuffing just a little dry?" Right? Now, it was really good a moment ago, But now, you know, it needs a little more gravy. It's that spirit of one person who can bring down everything else. And that's what happened to the people of Israel. There's a group of people that become more negative and grumble more and more, and it starts to affect the entire community. But on the other side of it, we need to understand that Thanksgiving can be contagious too. God knows the impact that gratitude or ingratitude can have on our community. So God takes this seriously. This isn't the first time people have complained about the food. Exodus chapter 16 is an example. They barely left the driveway. They were just leaving Egypt, and already the kids in the back seat are complaining, right? We've all been on trips like that. Here's what it says. Take a look at Exodus 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt." You know, they probably sounded something like that. "There we sat around pots of meat and ate all these wonderful pots of meat we wanted, all the meat we wanted. But you have brought us out here in the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Do you hear what's happening? What's happening? They are revising history. They're changing the story. That's not what happened. That happens even today. We revise history because we like it that way. And they act like they had it so good in Egypt. Oh, yeah. You know, remember when we were in Egypt? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We sat around. We ate all this meat all day. It was a huge fondue party, as I recall. Don't you? Oh, yeah. Except for that, what is that? Slavery. Yeah, yeah. It was great, but there's something wrong with, what was it? It was, the food was delicious. All we wanted. But there was a slavery thing going on, you know? They don't mention that at all. Here's an important aspect of complaining. Complaining always creates complaints, right? The more you complain, the more you find to complain about. Have you found that to be true? The Israelites get into the whining, complaining, and grumbling, and the more they do it, the more they do it. And they start making things up. And there have been many studies done about the more we complain, the more we complain about. I saw one study that had, it's an interesting study. They had two groups, and each group was told to keep a journal for 10 weeks. And one group was to keep an annoyance journal. And they were to write down at the end of the day all the things that irritated them. Some of you are unofficial members of this group, but this is an official group, okay? And every day, here's what annoyed me today, and they write it in their journal. The other group was to keep a gratitude journal, and they were to write down the things that they were thankful for. And at the end of every day, for 10 weeks, they would put down, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that they were thankful for. At the end of the study, they found that those who kept gratitude journals had greater energy and enthusiasm, they slept better, and they were less depressed. Sounds pretty good. Pretty simple, too. But what I found interesting is they also discovered that whatever one group did intentionally, if you were in the annoyance group, the irritated group that wrote down all the things that irritated you, or if you were in the group that was grateful for all the things and you wrote those things down, you became more like that group. Intentionally whining and complaining. And they were more annoyed on this side, or they were more thankful. Despite everyone complaining, God provides the Israelites, millions of them, when you think about it, think how much food that is, right? Just try to fill, you think how hard it was to do your Thanksgiving meal maybe for 10 or 12 or 20 or 30, whatever you had, you know? Feed a couple million. God provides them food, or what he calls manna, and here the word manna, take a look at the definition. I love the definition of manna because nobody really knew what it was. Well, that's what it's called. Hey, what is it? Or whatever it is, it's called manna. To be fair to the Israelites, the question of what is it is not often associated with fine food, right? Especially appetizing food. We don't tend to say, What is it? What is it? I mean, when you sit down at your Thanksgiving meal, you don't want to sit there and say, what's that? I mean, you don't want to say to your kids, right? Look, truth is, I really don't know what that is. But your grandmother made it. So you got to take a bite, right? It's some sort of Jell-O concoction. Put some gravy on it, right? I don't know what it is, but you have to take a bite of it. You know, specifically, the Israelites complained about the manna that they were given, that it was bland. They would say it had no flavor, I guess, you know. But you start to understand the context here. You need to understand that these people, there's millions of them, and they're starving. You know, they're hungry. And God supernaturally provides manna, but instead of being grateful for food, they complain about the fact that they're not getting meat to eat. I want you to look at this passage in Numbers 11, 18 through 20. Take a look. Tell the people, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. They've been asking for meat, right? So here's how God's response to them. The Lord heard you when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat to eat. You ask for meat, we're going to get you meat. And you're not going to, let me just let you know what's going to happen here. You're not going to eat meat for a day, right? Or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days. You ever eat something you like and you're like, oh gosh, it's here again, you know? But for a whole month, in fact, until it comes out of your nostrils. Can you hear a parent saying this to the kid, right? And you loathe it. Hey, you want meat? I'll give you some meat, right? That's what God's saying. You know, you're going to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. You want to whine out here in the middle of the night? Go ahead. Let's get him some meat. Bring out the trays, you know? And God's going to teach his people a very important lesson here. When it comes to being grateful and content, being thankful people, because here's the thing about complaining. Hear this. Remember it. Complaining lacks perspective. It lacks perspective. What we're missing in the midst of our negative attitude, our complaining, our whining, is what? We're missing the perspective. Instead of focusing on the goodness and the grace of God in our lives, we get fixated on what we don't have. A lot of us can lose perspective. We just forget about how we've been blessed. And I think that's why anyone who has spent, you know, any time in a third world country returns to this country with the gift of perspective. They realize how much to be thankful for. Our social media. Maybe you've seen this hashtag FWP. Have you seen that? First world problems. Someone complains that they respond with hashtag, they complain they respond with hashtag FWP, first world problems. In other words, what are they saying? In other words, you really don't have anything to complain about. Let's take a look at some of those first world problems.
Every year of every day, thousands of people fall victim to FWP.
I'm so cold.
Starving.
Nobody cares about me.
Also known as first world problems.
I am so cold. Somebody set the AC to 72. I need it at 73.
Starving. Oh, it has leftovers.
Nobody cares about me. Nobody commented or liked my status.
Hi, I'm Ryan Higa, and for just 5 hours of attention a day, you could help somebody with FWP.
Everyone keeps putting so much pressure on me. I don't know what I want for my birthday.
I have too much chips for my dip. But if I open a new dip, I'll have too much dip for my chips.
Why does Apple keep making new iPhones? Now I have to get another one?
They've been through so much struggle.
The remote's over there, but I'm all the way over here.
So much hardship.
My iPhone 5 is too big for my skinny jeans.
So much attention. Tension. Tension. Tension.
I poured my cereal without checking to see if we had milk. We did.
If that's you, I don't know, right? Just wear it. Own it. Often that's our spirit, though, right? There has never been a more indulged people in the history of civilization. And yet, we are the most discontent and most ungrateful. So God reaches the point where he just said, you know what, I just had enough of this whining. Can you hear, can you imagine, who would want to be God? Can you imagine what he hears? And in Psalm 106, David talks about the time, this time in the history of Israel. And David says, the people of God stirred up the wrath of God by grumbling in their tents. What would happen is they would worship like here. You know, they worship in God in the tabernacle, but then when they got home, right? Then they would grumble in their tents, in their homes. They would complain in their tents. And God had had enough. And we see how seriously God takes this in Numbers 14, 26. Look at this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. He's saying, hey, you know what? You keep complaining about the fact that I'm not taking care of you. Well, and you keep complaining about how hard your life is. Well, then, okay, if that's the way you want it, in the wilderness, he says, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who has counted, who was counted in the census and who has complained or grumbled against me is going to fall. This is why they kept wandering in the wilderness. God is waiting now for the complainers basically to just drop dead, to die off, so he can accomplish what he wants to accomplish in his people. God is just waiting. He's waiting for the complainers to die so he can fulfill the promises that he made to his people. That's how seriously God takes this. But why? Well, I was reading a quote from Erwin Lutzer. He explains it this way. He says, complaining may seem innocent enough, but God takes it personally. One commentator, and I think this commentator, I'm just going to say, in my opinion at least, went a little too far, a little strong maybe, but he equated this to blasphemy. None of us would say we've been blasphemous, but the commentator was making the point that at its core, which I think is true, complaining and whining is blasphemous, because what is complaining and whining except saying to God, I don't believe in you. I don't believe in you. I don't believe that you're going to do what you said you would do, and I don't believe that you are who you said you are. So when you strip down all the complaints, that's what it is. It's a refusal for us to trust God. It's a refusal to acknowledge his goodness and God's grace in our lives. God takes this personally. He calls us to be worshipers, but whining is the opposite of worship. Complaining is the opposite of praising. Worship is giving God all the glory for who he is and what he has done, but whining ignores what God has done or has promised that he will do. Ingratitude undermines the provisions of God. It disregards and overlooks his generosity. Numbers 14:11 says this. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? God says their lack of gratitude and thanksgiving is a way of treating me with contempt. That's how personally he takes it. He saved the people from slavery. He sent the plagues. He promised a new day and a new land. What else did he do? He split the Red Sea. When they were hungry, he provided manna. When they were thirsty, he provided water from a rock. And yet, the theme of his people is constant complaining. The sun is too hot, and the journey's too long, and the food is too bland. Listen. God has been so good to all of us. And the reason why this is such a serious sin, particularly for Christians, is that complaining, it really undermines the good news of the gospel. We're to be light that shines the good news of the gospel to the world. Complaining undermines that good news of the gospel. And we should be the most content, the most thankful, the most grateful people on earth because of the gospel, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, because he took the punishment that we deserve on himself. So when we're complainers, when we're whiners, it undermines the goodness of the gospel. That's why Paul says in the book of Philippians, do everything without grumbling or complaining so that you can shine like stars in the universe. Our whining and our complaining in the workplace, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, it's like a dimmer. It dims the light that God has asked us to shine. So when God provides for us generously and so sacrificially, and yet we start off every day complaining about a job we don't like, about the new wrinkles that we see in the mirror, about the in-laws that stayed longer than they should. When we start off each day complaining, it's this picture of God holding up the walls. I want you to picture this, of the Red Sea, right? Because that's what he did for all these people. And there's people walking through this area that used to be an ocean, used to be a sea. He's holding it up. And what are they doing? They're complaining and they're looking at the mud between their toes. That's the image. We have been saved. We have been given grace and forgiveness through Jesus. We were slaves to sin, but God rescued us. He delivered us. He saved us. He made himself nothing. He died on the cross for all of us. And in light of his goodness and grace, God forgives. Forgive me, God, for the days that I have not been grateful. So this weekend after Thanksgiving, maybe this is a prayer you need to pray. Maybe like me, you never really thought too much about, you know, complaining and whining and negative spirit as something that needs to be repented of. But the truth is, folks, it is a sin that offends God, and he takes it personally as a father who provides for his children. So maybe that's the prayer you need to pray. God, forgive me for the days I've not been grateful. And then maybe we decide that we're going to be more intentional with our gratitude. Maybe between now and Christmas, you keep that gratitude journal. And you decide that every night before you go to bed, you're going to write down 7 things every night before you go to bed that you're thankful for. So that by the time Christmas comes, you're going to have 100 things that you are grateful for. And I think that invites the blessings of God into our lives in a very unique way when we're intentional. Intentionally, we notice and we appreciate and we say to God, thank you. Let's pray together and express our gratitude to God. God, I thank you for Jesus. If nothing else good ever happened to us, but we receive salvation, then we would be the most blessed of all people. God, I know for many of us, it's hard to keep perspective because some of the challenges we're going through, a lot of us are going through lots of difficult things right now, and they can seem overwhelming. Help us to be reminded of your goodness and your grace in our lives. We share our struggles in faith, recognizing who you are. May we encourage one another by remembering your promises and your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Help us, Lord, to be a people who are known for being grateful and thankful to you in all circumstances. We ask this and we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.